Hello, my name is Jose Nazario, and I'm a security researcher and architect here at Arbor Networks in Ann Arbor, Michigan, in the U.S. In this HelpNet Security podcast, I'm going to talk about politically motivated distributed denial of service attacks. We've been seeing a marked increase in these in the past few years, most notably last year's Estonia attacks that occurred about 1 year ago in May of 2007, and most recently in the attacks on CNN.com here in the U.S. A distributed denial of service attack is designed to overwhelm a target or a victim with resource requests. These resources might include their bandwidth, but it might also include server availability and resources. Typically, we see traffic floods, which are designed to actually do both. The size of the network behind, or the number of attackers behind the attack, actually consume all the available bandwidth, but they also are designed to cause connection requests, handlers, or web server resources, for example, to be consumed in the attack. Some kinds of denial of service attacks include SYN floods, TCP SYN floods, which are designed to overwhelm the servers with connection request handlers, blocking any other requests from coming in and working. It can also include an HTTP GET flood, which is designed to basically work the server, the web server, handling all those requests, effectively blocking out others, as well as ping floods, which are designed to basically consume as much bandwidth as possible, and if the server can reply, chew up those resources as well. We typically see botnets behind denial of service attacks, although we sometimes see homegrown tools or even just teams of people sitting around reloading on their browser or running ping-f on their Windows boxes against a target, all coordinated to basically maximize their bandwidth. Typically, attackers have far less bandwidth per machine than the server on the recipient end does, so they have to band these together, and so they can, again, typically use a botnet, multiple people, or specific tools designed to basically facilitate these sorts of attacks. Motivations for denial of service attacks are typically some form of retribution or disappointment or anger and being taken out on the victim, usually against an individual or a small site. Sometimes we see extortion against an e-commerce site or gambling or gaming sites. And sometimes, although increasingly so, we see political motivations. This is not new. In 2002, we saw some of these attacks against the Olympic website coming from Korea as users expressed their frustration at the outcome of a short track speed skating event. However, we saw this on a much grander scale in 2007, late April and May, against the country of Estonia. Several different tools and botnets were used to launch coordinated denial of service attacks against significant portions of the Estonian infrastructure, using ping floods, SYN floods, HTTP GET floods, mail bombs, all sorts of attacks designed to basically swamp the infrastructure, slowing it down for all the users inside Estonia. Many governments around the world looked at this and were concerned, gravely concerned, worrying if they were vulnerable to such attacks. In the past year, a significant number of similar events have occurred around the world. We've seen a number of Russian botnets attacking sites in the Ukraine. We've seen Ukrainian sites attacking in Russia. We've seen, most recently, Chinese botnets and attackers sending denial of service attacks against CNN.com, the CNN cable news network here in the U.S., in retaliation for some of the remarks made by one of the anchors on the network about how China was handling certain international events recently. We've seen these attacks increase around the world as attackers basically restore hacktivism. We have seen a steady number and continue to see a steady number of cross-border disputes around the world playing out with website defacements and slanderous remarks made around the world by various groups about each other. Denial of service attacks, however, have escalated in number and severity in the past several years when it comes to political motivations. We usually have to infer or speculate about the motivations of the attacks, although sometimes, as we saw with the Estonian attacks, we saw actually clear-cut cases in forums where users, Russian language users, were actually encouraging each other to commit these attacks. Generally, we do see only attackers behind them, although sometimes for very high-profile media events, we actually do see specific tools released that are designed to be used by the average computer user, who is then encouraged to do so by the attackers. They generally appeal to nationalistic tendencies, and they generally try and tell the user this is a way to vent their frustration and cause the target or the victim to actually take notice here. Another recent set of attacks was against Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, in Eastern Europe. The Belarusian government has been accused of being behind the attacks in some of the cases, although we have no evidence of this. It's important to know that in almost all the cases, the community has never been able to sort of demonstrate a clear political actor behind some of the attacks. We've never been able to show, for example, that a government has instructed or asked or requested these attacks to take place. And that's one of the other key things to keep in mind, and has always been a key thing to keep in mind when it comes to hacktivism, is trying to understand blame and attribution here. Online, it's impossible to know where people are coming from. Coupled to that, it's impossible to sort of figure out it's easy to figure out where they're coming from. It's hard to sort of be accurate about exactly where they're coming from. Are they sitting at a chair in Moscow, for example, or are they sitting at a chair here in the U.S., for example, in Chicago? And are they simply using resources overseas? Are they Russian language speakers in another country, for example? These are all sorts of things we have to keep in mind when we think about who might be behind these. In the case of Estonia, for example, we saw forums. We saw many, many forums actually used to sort of coordinate the attacks, where both hackers as well as just upset computer savvy users were talking about this. We also saw this recently in China, where Chinese hackers and hacker groups actually encouraged each other to coordinate their efforts to bring down CNN.com. Some of these attacks are significant. Radio Free Europe was knocked offline for a little bit. Estonia was disrupted for a while. Some of them fizzle, like the CNN attacks. Globally, we're seeing an increase of this because of a number of different issues. We're seeing a rise in nationalism. We're seeing a rise of politically active and politically motivated hackers, sort of taking to the streets, if you will, and there's no shortage of cross-border disputes or incidents. Finally, it's important to remember that denial of service attacks are relatively easy. They don't require a high degree of sophistication, unlike breaking software or defacing website, which requires someone to study the website and figure out the vulnerabilities and actually execute an exploit. Denial of service attack is actually trivial to put together and launch, and that's one of the most scary things, I think, for many governments around the world, is that a dedicated team of just super upset people who aren't necessarily technologically savvy can get together and cause such massive havoc in some cases. We've been tracking these things around the world. We've been looking at these attacks around the world, and we've been tracking them both out of China as well as out of, Chinese language botnets as well as out of Russian language botnets that are located around the world. And we've also been trying to keep track of all sorts of U.S.-based attacks. Basically, these are the three major places we see this taking place, or the three major fronts we see taking place here. But there was really no shortage, like I said, of these sorts of things. And as we look around the world and dig, we do wind up finding them all over the place. This last year, we were asked repeatedly if this was a new trend, if cyber warfare had taken on a new face. At the time, I was reluctant to call it a new face. Both for the fact that it was sort of a single event. It's hard to sort of draw a trend based upon a single event that really escalates it forward. It's hard to say if this is indeed an isolated event or a new corner that's been turned. Although it's clear to me and clear to many others in the past year, we've seen a dramatic increase in this, a dramatic turn in this, an uptick in frequency of this. And so we're keeping our eyes open. We're having a look at this. I should note that also in Estonia earlier this year, an actual Estonian citizen was actually fined pled guilty and fined for his involvement in the attacks, although based upon our data, we're not entirely sure that he's the only one behind them. That's another thing to keep in mind as well as in these investigations. It takes a long time. So you can't simply point a finger at your enemy and say he's or she's behind it. You have to really go and do a lot of digging and look for a lot of things. NATO recently began opening up a multi-member state cyber defense center of excellence based in Tallinn, Estonia. We look forward to seeing what they're going to do, and we hope we can work with them and help them defend NATO nations and their online resources against similar attacks. This is just one of many such efforts around the world, typically multi-nation efforts, and we look forward to seeing these efforts combat this rising tide, what we see as a rising tide of politically motivated denial of service attacks. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope everybody has a good day. Cheers.